Welcome to the Susquehanna Valley Baptist Pulpit, preaching a life worth living, abundant life in Christ. And now the message.
If you would, open your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18, as we begin looking into this lesson this morning. It is lesson number 4 in a series on how to study the Bible. And so we've recently looked at studying the Bible through a word study, studying the Bible through a character study, and this morning, we're with lesson 4, we're on to the book study. And so we're going to look a little bit about how to study a book, how to look specifically into a book of the Bible, and what's the process there, how can we do our best to gain the most from what God has given to us there. As we begin any study of the Bible, of course, we ought to begin with prayer. Before even choosing or deciding where we're going to spend some time and investing some time into a book study, we ought to pray. And so for that, we have Psalm 119, verse 18. The psalmist David's prayer, his request, his desire as he approaches the law of God. And let's read that this morning. The Word of God says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Truly there is great worth. Truly there are many wondrous things in the law of God. After all the law of God is wondrous. And David had this prayer, this heart's desire. He said, "Open thou mine eyes." That was his request. And I think that ought to be our request as well. Lord, open our eyes that we can behold all the wondrous things out of thy law, out of thy word that you desire for us to have. And as we begin this book study here, we have a quote from J. Sidlow Baxter. "Amid the wonderful diversity of the Scriptures, there is an even more wonderful unity. The 66 books of the Bible are more than a collection of writings. They are one book. One in the spiritual unity of the message which they collectively declare." No matter which book you embark upon a study within, you can remember this. It has great unity amongst all the other books. It shares the spiritual unity. It shares the same message. They're collectively, all 66 books are collectively declaring God's message to us. And there's spiritual unity there. Each and every book of the Bible has great purpose. God has placed each individual book, no matter how great its size, no matter how small, no matter how popular it is, every book of the Bible, God has placed there with a purpose. And so no matter which book we choose to embark in a study within it, we ought to remember that it has a great purpose. And with that, I have to consider 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And our first blank there, as we look at all Scripture being profitable, is context. Context is king. And as we enter into a book study, as we seek to gain the profit that there is for us from the Word of God, one of the great tools that we're going to look at is context. Context is king. A diligent book study will greatly broaden the contextual foundation of a passage. The authority of the Scriptures comes from God. Therefore, we study the Scriptures to understand what He has said so we can conduct our lives in accordance to His authority. That's our second blank there. His authority. When seeking to better understand the sense of any text, it is imperative that we look to its context. Isolating passages of Scripture from their context is dangerous, often leading to misinterpretation, confusion, and false doctrine. You know, it's amazing to me that we have so great access to the Word of God, specifically in the English language, specifically in America, in the United States. We have great access to the Word of God in our English language. And I think you could perhaps say the vast majority of homes has a Bible, has a knowledge of, they at least have access to a Bible. With internet, they can look up a Bible, or they have a hard copy, or they have a family Bible, or something. They have grandpa's Bible. But as a country, as a nation, as a whole, we have great access to the Word of God. So many different religions use the Bible and have the Bible. And you would hope that the fact that everyone has a Bible or has access to the Word of God would just fix so many things. But yet we find so much misinterpretation of Scriptures. We find so much confusion of the Scriptures. And we find so much false doctrine that is prevalent as people take the Word of God and they apply it to their lives and read the Word of God. And why is there so much confusion? Why is there so much misinterpretation and false doctrine out there today? And I think there's two reasons that we could look at. In lesson number two, Pastor Starnes spent a good deal of time dealing with a proper hermeneutic and how we study, how we view the Bible. It's as a whole. We don't view it allegorically. We take a literal interpretation of Scriptures. And so he takes some time and discusses that about having a proper hermeneutic. And so one of the greatest things in battling misinterpretation, confusion, and false doctrine is having a proper hermeneutic, a proper way of viewing the Bible, a proper way of studying the Bible. And then after we have that proper hermeneutic in place, another great tool that's going to help us combat misinterpretation, confusion, and false doctrine in our lives and in the world around us is going to be context. Understanding context, it's essential to the Bible student. It's essential to any Christian to understand context. And so that is why context is king. Let me give you some importance of a book study. Why would you take some of your time and direct it towards a book study? After all, I'm sure you're reading the Word of God daily, studying the Word of God, but why would you consider directing that time or increasing that time or applying a good deal of time into a book study? After all, it is a study and it takes work. Let me give you a few things. The first one is that first, as we just looked at, it does provide context. A book study will provide you with context. Secondly, the book study pushes us to investigate and consider all the text beyond what just connects with us. I think about myself, I have some favorite chapters in the Bible, some favorite passages in the Bible, and no doubt you do as well. And so if I were to look to a certain book of the Bible and I'm reading through it, I am very likely to latch hold of and just grab onto certain portions that God has spoke to me about in the past, or maybe certain passages are just of more personal interest to me, or God has used them in a great way to help me obtain victory in my life. But the fact is that the book study helps us and pushes us really to investigate and consider all of the text. You know, I think of Ephesians chapter 6. I enjoy reading and I enjoy studying Ephesians chapter 6. But God placed Ephesians chapter 1 through 5 for my profit. All Scripture, it's all profitable. And God has placed it there on purpose to be applied to my life. And so a book study pushes me to consider every chapter, every verse, every line, and it really keeps me and pushes me in my study of the Word of God. I think far too often we as Bible students leave many jewels and many gems undiscovered, many spiritual, scriptural gems and truths that God has given us because we fail to turn over all the rocks. We fail to look under every rock and to peek into every nook and cranny, and so a book study pushes us to investigate. Thirdly, it helps us to see the role of the book within the canon of Scriptures. And as our opening quote said there, amidst the wonderful vast diversity of Scripture, there is spiritual unity in the message that God's Word declares to us. Each and every book is unified. And looking at a book specifically helps us see the role it plays within the canon of Scriptures. And so what are some tools that we can use, some resources, as we delve into a book study? Let's look at a few of those. The first one is obviously a Bible, and I would say a study Bible. And if you have a study Bible, it's going to be a great tool to you. One of the main reasons that I think it's a great tool as we look to a book specifically is that oftentimes study Bibles have a heading at the top of each book, and it gives you the date that the book was written. It gives you a little information about the author. It gives you some themes of the book. It probably even breaks it down into an outline of sorts. And so a study Bible is a very useful tool to have as you embark into the book study. Another thing is you'll want a notebook. After all, as we're studying the Bible, as we're coming upon the truths of God's Word, we're going to want to grab hold of those things and to keep track and to write them down and to have them in order. And so a notebook is going to play a great role in that. Thirdly, I think about a good Bible commentary. I brought two up here this morning, and the first one here is Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown. It's a Bible commentary that can be quite useful. And then the second one here, another Bible commentary, is Through the Bible with James Vernon McGee. Through the Bible with James Vernon McGee. You can get these in hardback, obviously, as they're here. Another way you can get them is, Pastor had mentioned several lessons ago, maybe it was lesson two or so, and he talked about different study tools, and one of those things is apps that are available, Bible study apps, and oftentimes several of these apps that he had mentioned, I think maybe two of them at least, have these commentaries in them specifically. James Vernon McGee and then the Fawcett and Brown are available there for free. So if you're looking for a good free resource, they're available on those apps as well, just for some easy access to them. Another thing, the fourth thing, is your word study tools. And of course, Pastor talked about those in lesson number three, the word study tools that are available. Think about your Strong's Concordance, or maybe your Vines, just some different word study tools that were spoken about. And those are of great help. Those can be of great help to us as we go into the book study. So what's the process? Step number one, we must select a book. We must select a book. And so consider starting small, think short, think easy and rich. You say, what might be some books to consider? Here's some suggestions, perhaps 1 John or 1 Thessalonians. And like I said, think small, think rich, think short and easy. It's okay. Your first book study or even your 50th book study does not have to be the hardest, most, I guess you could say difficult, the largest book of the Bible. God has great truths in every book of the Bible, and each book of the Bible holds great purpose. And so as we look at starting out specifically on a book study, think small, short, and rich. After all, we don't want to get bogged down by a large book of the Bible. Think, who knows, say we started our first book study on the book of Romans or on the book of Revelations. We very easily, very quickly could get bogged down, and we might cut ourselves short of doing a full, diligent study of a certain book. So select a book. The second thing, and another great reason to choose a small book to begin with, is that we want to master the general context. Master the general content. Strive to read the book through multiple times in one sitting. Becoming acquainted with the book causes the book to open up. Themes begin standing out. Common thoughts begin lining up. And textual structure naturally begins to show. So that's themes begin standing out, common thoughts begin lining up, and textual structure naturally begins to show. Step number three, prepare an introduction to the book by answering these questions. And as we look at entering into a book, so we've just selected a book, and now mastering the general context, and now we're about to look at preparing an introduction. Let us think of ourselves as perhaps you recall the old Western movies, and there's a man going out west, and he's a prospector. He's looking for gold. He's a gold miner. And so he's on his way out west. He finds a place. He finds a rock structure. He finds a portion of land that he wants to go investigate and discover the gold that's there and seek for it. What does he do? He goes to the sheriff's office, and of course he takes out a pencil and paper and he draws himself a map. And what's he doing? He's staking his claim. He's staking his claim on that ground and saying, this is the ground I am going to search out diligently. And so I think for ourselves that would be a good way to look at this. as we've selected a book, let us do a little bit of staking our claim upon the book that is chosen. We stake the claim there. We're going to spend some time. We're going to thoroughly investigate and study what God's Word has for us. So as we look at that, think of yourself as a miner, a prospector, and you're going to stake your claim. You're going to drive the stakes deep and settle down here for a little while and search out what God has for us in the Scriptures. And so as we prepare an introduction to the book, let us ask ourselves these questions. And this is important to put this in your notebook. First off, who wrote the book? That's our first blank. Wrote. Who wrote the book? If we're speaking about the book of Philemon, then the author would have been Paul, the Apostle Paul. And so we'd put that in our notebook, the Apostle Paul. The second question we ought to ask ourselves is, to whom did he write? To whom did he write? Who received this book? If it was the book of Romans, we know it would be written to the Romans. If it's the book of Philemon, we would find that Paul is writing to Philemon. Where did he write it? That's another good question. Oftentimes, if we consider again, as we will here, the book of Philemon, Paul wrote the book of Philemon in his bonds. He says, I'm in bondage. He's in his bonds. Another question we could ask ourselves is, when did he write it? When did he write it? And of course, sometimes we can find these things, find our study Bibles helpful to help us with dates, to help us with some different things, help us quickly find the author, and so forth. But as we read through the past, as we read through the book multiple times, it really does help us to gain an understanding and to master the content there, and these questions become more easily answered. Our other question we could ask ourselves, what was the occasion of his writing? What was the occasion? Why was it being written? What was the purpose for which he wrote? Looking at the book of Philemon, if we were to ask ourselves what was the purpose that Philemon was written, we could say it was interceding for the reconciliation of Onesimus, the runaway slave, and Philemon. And that, of course, would cause us to ask the question, well, why? And what were the circumstances of the author when he wrote? Who are other contemporary writers with the author? Contemporary writers of the author. How about what were the circumstances of those he wrote? If we would look at Philemon, Philemon was wronged by Onesimus, a slave. Let's look at the other circumstances that are there. In Philemon's culture, where Onesimus and Philemon dwelt, slavery was a common thing. In fact, the vast majority of people were slaves. If you weren't a slave owner, then you were a slave. If you weren't a slave, then you were a slave owner. Slavery was part of their culture. And so the book keeps opening up. And what are we doing? We're building a foundation. You could say that whenever we do a word study, it's like we're digging a well. We're going as deep as we can. Whenever we're doing a book study, we're just broadening the contextual foundation that we have. And so as we answer these questions, the book just continues to open up. What insight is gained of the author's life and character? Oh, I think about all that we could look at in the life and character of Paul that is obtained through the books that are written. And so as we're taking notes, take notes about what we can put together as an introduction to this book. How about this? What are the leading ideas of the book? What are the leading ideas? As you're reading through it, what are the themes that begin popping out? Here's our next question. What is the central truth of the book? And so as we're asking ourselves these questions, we're writing down the major ideas that are coming up. We're writing down the central truth that we find in the book. We could look next at what are the characteristics of the book. Philemon is the smallest of the Pauline epistles that were written. That's a characteristic about it. Just sometimes that tends to be more of a fun fact, but oftentimes it can give us a better insight. Or how about this? Where is Christ in the book? Where is Christ in the book? And I want to place some emphasis on this, because I think this is the greatest question out of these questions that we could be asking. Where is Christ in the book? In the book of Philemon, Christ is our reconciliation. We find Christ is our reconciliation. in the book of Philemon, Christ is the one who has taken my debts, my wrongs. And we find in the book of Philemon that Paul is saying to Philemon, those things that Onesimus has wronged you with, those areas he's wronged you, Paul says, has put that on mine account. Well, we find Christ in the book because is that not what Christ said to us or to God the Father about us? Put that on mine account. And so I'm so thankful that Christ has put on my account or on his account all of my sins. And he said about my sins and about your sins, Lord or Father, put that on my account. And he's paid for those things. And that is Christ in the book of Philemon. Another way is Christ is the one who has made us profitable. And so there are several areas we could look at in Philemon, but Philemon's name, or Onesimus' name rather, means unprofitable. But yet we find Christ is the one who makes him profitable. Christ is the one who helps him and allows him to live up to his name, if you would say it that way. And I think of ourselves, Christ is the one who has made us, who are worthless sinners, profitable. And so where is Christ in the book? Remember to follow the scarlet thread. Christ is preeminent. By God's help, the ultimate goal of Bible study is to see beyond the written word to him who is the living word. To see beyond the written word to him who is the living word. As we continue in our book study here, we must remember that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Oftentimes, answers to these questions in the introduction here that we're looking at, oftentimes they're best found from other books of the Bible. For example, if you were to study out the book of Philippians, and you were choosing Philippians as the book you were going to study, you would find Acts chapter 16 very helpful. It gives a lot of background. It answers many of these questions that you would like to put into your introduction. And so we must remember that the best commentary on the Bible is, in fact, the Bible. I think a good rule of thumb about commentaries, and they're of great help, and they're great tools, but I think a good rule of thumb is to save them and to put them off towards the end, I guess you could say. And why do I say that? I say that because I know if I go and I read the book of Philemon one time through and then I turn to a commentary and I read everything that the commentary has to say about the book of Philemon, then all of a sudden I am hindering myself because every time I look back at the book of Philemon and I look at that verse and it catches my eye and I think, oh, that's what James Vernon McGee said, or oh, that's what Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown said about that verse. And I feel like it limits what God would have for me to discover from that passage for myself. That being said, commentaries are great tools, but you can never go wrong with the greatest commentary on the Bible, which is the Bible. Step number 4 in our process here, outline the book. Outline the book. Divide the book into sections by noting the principal divisions of thought. Those are your blanks there, divisions of thought. Sometimes these sections, these divisions, you could say, of a book cross over chapter divisions. Once these divisions are made, provide each with an accurate and concise caption. Remember to refer back to your reading. You've read through at this point the book multiple times. You've mastered the content. And so now as you're outlining the book, note the principal divisions of thought and then caption them. I think about the book study we did recently. Pastor was doing it Thursday nights here on the book of John. And what did we do every Thursday? We captioned each chapter of that book. Each chapter of that book was given a title. And why was that done? It was to help break down the book, help us to remember, help us to see the division of thought that was there. Number 5, study each verse in order. In order. Now, if we stop right here at number 4, if we stop at number 4, we've come short of a book study and we've simply done a book survey. Now, a book survey, that's nothing wrong with doing a book survey, but we're going to continue on into steps 5, 6, 7, and 8 because without those steps, we would simply be doing a book survey, and we want to look into doing a book study. And so number five, study each verse in order. Define key words. Those would be good to note, key words in your notebook. After all, we could do word studies on them shortly. Find the meaning in view of the context. And finally, look to parallel passages. Look to parallel passages. But break out your word study tools. Find the key words that are in the passages and do some study there. Study each verse in order and take diligent notes. Number six, observe. Observe the three rules of analysis. Number one, don't add anything that is not clearly in the verse. Don't add. Number two, find all that is in the verse. Number three, state accurately what has been found. State accurately what has been found. And then number seven, classify the results of your study. Classify the results of your study. For example, we could compile all the areas found that a Christian should grow in. Say you're studying a book of the Bible and it's speaking about Christian growth. Well, then let's take some time and let's classify the results and let's compile all the areas that the book talks about how a Christian could grow. I think of another thing we could look at is in the book of Philemon, if you're studying the book of Philemon, you would want to compile the different ways that we should receive others. And there's three specific different ways that we should receive others in the book of Philemon. And so that'd be something you'd want to compile and work through. If you're studying through the book of 1 John, then you will want to compile a list of all the reasons that you can know that ye have eternal life. After that, after all, that is the central truth of the book, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And so compile, classify the results of your study. And number eight, I think we ought to give more diligence to this than we often do, or at least myself. And it takes diligence to do number eight. And so number eight is to meditate. Meditate upon and digest the Word of God. Meditate. When studying the Scriptures, it is essential we understand what God is saying. And so as we study out, as we're outlining, as we're studying each verse in order, as we're observing what God has said, not adding, we want to observe all that's there, compiling it all, classifying all that's being done, all that's taking place, all that God is showing to us as we are overturning these rocks, as we are digging for the gold that God has placed within this certain book, as we're picking up the gems that are laying before us of scriptural truth. We as Christians do ourselves a great disservice and God a great disservice if we stop short of thinking upon, meditating upon what God has shown us and applying that to our lives. And so that is of great importance, to apply what God has shown us to our lives. As we conclude here, we understand what God is saying as we study the Scriptures. Understanding context through a book study builds the foundation for a solid understanding of what God desires to show us through His Word. It has been said that the Bible is read often, but rarely studied. And may we as God's children be diligent in the study of His Word. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact us, please write us at P.O. Box 126-541, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17112. And visit our website at www.svbcpa.org. Until next time.